Right back to conversation. Michelson here with you. Welcome to our Monday morning get-together. And on Friday this last week, we started a conversation about, and I, you know, halfway kind of wish this subject didn't have to be brought up anymore, but what Iowa has been caught doing in the middle of the crossfire, judge-created law in unleashing a same-gender marriage, it's not just a hypothetical anymore, and I started to read to you what it did in Massachusetts back in 2003 when Governor Romney looked the other way while their courts invented new rights, and he didn't stand up for his constitutional duty out there. What has happened in Massachusetts since then in that state? And I started to read to you some stuff from that jurisdiction, from Massachusetts, that was in a think piece written by Brian Kamenker. And I started to read this, and there was just too much to read, so I put a link up to it on my website, blogcast, on Friday, and a lot of people said that was just amazing stuff. I had several people email me and call me, well, that stuff isn't verified. You can't prove any of that stuff. Well, you're right. I can't prove any of that stuff. So I chased down the fellow who was the historian and the fellow who kept track of it all in Massachusetts for the past several years. He's from Mass Resistance, and his name is Brian Kamenker, and he's on our Newsmaker line. So any of you who think that that any of the information that's being dispensed is inaccurate, he's the fella to confront right now. We're going to talk with him. Plus, I had a number of also emails suggesting that I was putting out misinformation and that I was, in essence, a bad person. Not a single person that sent me email or was critical actually listed any fact or statement that I've made on this subject that was an error. Not once. They just call me a bunch of names and then either hang up or just anonymously move on to another piece of email. It doesn't bother me because this is an old tactic. But those of you who are most unkind and have things to say about the accuracy of information, I wish you'd develop the necessary body parts to defend what you're talking about. And while Brian Kamenker is here, do not call or do not write after he is gone complaining about his inaccuracies. He's here now. So if you've got a case to make, make it now. Or forever hold your blanking peace. Brian, I didn't mean to unload on you there, Brian.
No, no problem.
But you've had this happen to you as well, right? I mean, you're accused of prevarication and lying and being an evil person, but they don't tell you exactly what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This piece, by the way, was used extensively in California just before, in the weeks before Proposition 8, that vote, and also in Florida. I was on the radio all over the place in both of those states. It's it was used in Hawaii before their recent vote where gay marriage won, and it's being used in Maine and in New Hampshire right now. New Hampshire's Senate is going to be voting on it this week. So this piece has proven to be, in many people's opinion, pretty valuable, and yes, I get all kinds of the homosexual activists here in Boston and around the country have tried to put out a campaign of misinformation about this, but I'm willing to stand up for all of it, and I'm willing to take any questions. Much of it I witnessed myself, so I'm here.
All right, so the title of this think piece, and I'll again provide you a link, and not only are the facts in this linked and documented. Many of them are actually documented with the sound and video that people on his webpage of people actually making the very statements that he quotes in extensive fashion. And you've divided this, Brian, into several different categories. What Same-Sex Marriage Has Done to Massachusetts, in the subtitle of which it's far worse than most people realize. First off, you deal with the public schools and you talk about public health. You have a category on domestic violence and business and the legal profession, the adoption of kids, government mandates, the media, and you come up with some conclusions, too. Let's just start with the public schools. You should also know, Brian, well before this Supreme Court aberration, the gay agenda has already advanced extensively into the Iowa public education domain. They used the bully bill. They've used the day of silence. They have affirmative action here in the state of Iowa for government employees already. So well before the Supreme Court ruling occurred, the gay lobby pretty much is way the heck ahead of just about all of these institutions and have deep inroads into the Department of Education, in fact, own the ISEA, that is the Iowa the State Education Association. And so even without this ruling, there's a lot of damage been done already.
Yeah, it's a lot like that here, too, as you can imagine.
Well, talk to us about public schools there.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned in the article, the very first thing that I noticed within a few weeks of this ruling, they had a school-wide assembly at my children's high school where they had, you know, this array of speakers and teachers who announced that they were men who announced they were going to be marrying each other, their same-sex partners, and, you know, talking about artificial insemination and all these handouts on same-sex marriage and how wonderful it is and how you can, you know, fight for your rights. And, you know, that was the beginning. And later, you know, as I mentioned, it got into middle schools and into elementary schools. I think the most frightening thing that happened was the whole David Parker incident, where his kindergartner came home with a book on, you know, men marrying each other, basically same-sex families, men and women marrying each other. And he was told that he could not opt out over those discussions in the kindergarten. Not only could he not opt out, but they weren't even going to tell him when they were discussing this with his six-year-old.
Well, now I'm trying to figure out why kindergarten, for Pete's sake, has to be talking about culture war issues.
I don't know either, but they're doing it. They want to, get the kids going as early as they can. And David Parker ended up being arrested over his insistence that he be notified. And he started a lawsuit which cost him nearly $250,000 and went through the district court and to the Supreme Court. And in the end, the district court judge, the federal judge, said no, because of gay marriage in Massachusetts, parents do not have the right to opt their kids out of these things. They do not have the right even to be notified. And the schools have actually a duty to, you know, tell kids about this and to normalize it in the schools. I mean, you can read there were actually two, two rulings on appeal and the regular ruling. You can read those. And, you know, this is what's happening in Massachusetts. They have full, the full rights to push this on kids, and parents have no rights to opt their kids out or even be notified before or after this happens, according to the federal judge. And the U.S. Supreme Court refused to take the case. And, one of the other frightening things was soon after this ruling took place, a middle school teacher in a neighboring town went on national public radio. I was actually on that same radio program, and she said, yes, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about homosexual, sexual issues. We're going to be talking about the whole range of homosexual acts.
We're talking about middle school here.
Right, middle school. And you can listen to the piece. It's still on the NPR website, and they're doing it. And they, she said, you can't stop me because of this marriage ruling. This is what is happening. And for the homosexual lobby to say that it's not happening is simply false, because it's certainly been in all the papers here.
Now going back to the logic, The judge said, this is a federal judge, says, because this is now legal, schools have a duty to portray homosexual relationships as normal to children, even grade school kids. The parents don't have a say. We're talking about kindergarten kids. Well, I think this is apparently age appropriate doesn't mean anything anymore either.
No.
And that not only is it one thing to be tolerant, but now this is required that the school has a duty to portray these relationships as normal.
Yeah,
even if the parents object.
That's the phrase they use. Yes, and you know, this is what the federal court said.
Now, and that's just one federal court. Could this be taken to a higher court? Or could the Massachusetts legislature tell them to go play in the highway? Because your constitution in Massachusetts is more explicit about legislative jurisdiction than any other constitution in the state in the entire country.
Right. Well, the Parkers tried to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear it. Now, we have a bill before the legislature that would specifically give these rights to parents, called the David Parker Parents' Rights Bill. And, yes, the legislature does have the right or, you know, can help with this. You know, whether they will or not, you know, remains to be seen. But, you know, unless there are specific, you know, things that protect parents, this is what same-sex marriage brings. And you know, it's only logical. I mean, if it's legal, if it's, you know, if the state acknowledges same-sex marriage as being normal, then why not let it be taught in the public schools? And that's what everybody says.
Yes, that is an excellent question. So if it's legal, it must be moral.
Right.
And that is the conundrum that this kind of decision puts the rest of us in. Well, they have rights. They have a class. They're entitled to equality. Therefore, legality. Therefore, it's legal. Therefore, it's moral. Therefore, we have a duty to portray these relationships as normal to kids. And even if the parents don't agree, that means by definition, the parents are advocating lawless, intolerant attitudes. It's the parents' attitude that needs correcting, not everything else.
Oh, absolutely. And this extends way past the public schools. It extends through businesses. It extends through the way benefits are given. It extends, you know, in public, you know, public accommodations.
Yes.
It extends everywhere.
Well, I need to take a short time out from a conversation with Brian Kamenker. He is with an organization in Massachusetts. It's called what?
It's called Mass Resistance, and there's an interesting story about that, which I can tell you.
All right. When we come back here in a moment, folks, you're welcome to join this conversation. The fellow that lives there, and he can tell you what we can expect here now that the Iowa Supreme Court has served up its mischief if it's not resisted by the legislature, which has jurisdiction to deal with it. On 1040 WHO. On our newsmaker line from Mass Resistance is Brian Kamenker. He is from Massachusetts, and he's basically reporting what the effects of their whacked court did to their state. He started by talking to us about the educational issues, as the logic is if the court has described something as legal, the education system has a duty to provide school children with same-sex information, even down as low as the kindergarten and middle school. And the gay lobby is more than happy to take their window of opportunity to do this to the next generation. So what does Mass Resistance mean, Brian?
Well, we started out back in 1995 as Parents' Rights Coalition. That's actually our legal name still. And the first thing that we did back then was I wrote the current parents notification law, which is still law in Massachusetts. With great difficulty, we got it passed through both houses of the legislature here and signed by the governor. And we have been a pro-family group ever since then. And when the gay marriage issue started, we went you know, we eventually changed our name to Mass Resistance because it was a little more broad, and people at the time sort of liked it. I know it sounds a little out there, but that's what it is, and people feel that the founding fathers, especially Thomas Jefferson, said that you need to be constantly vigilant and constantly, you know, have this spirit of resistance against, you know, tyrannical things that the government does. And we've grown considerably here in Massachusetts, and we've stopped a lot of the really terrible legislation that, you know, the gay lobby and Planned Parenthood and others have tried to get passed over the last few years. And we've been pretty successful. So that's the group. We're, as I said, a pro-family group here in Massachusetts. And, you know, we expose a lot of the stuff that goes on that nobody else would expose.
Well, in this case, there's a lot of bad news. But there's some good news, too, I'd like to get to later, because people are just a little overwhelmed with this subject, and they don't know exactly what to do about it. The courts have decided to legislate here in the state of Iowa, and the legislature, which is controlled by like-minded individuals, are perfectly happy to let them do that. The mass, however, here in Iowa, largely opposed to what the Supreme Court has done and have pled with the legislature to take appropriate action, either through amending the Constitution of the state of Iowa. But even that, as you found out here in Massachusetts, if the Constitution has been changed, that doesn't necessarily provide a safe harbor either, does it?
Well, no. And you know, in Massachusetts, and this is something that I think your afternoon host, Steve Deese, has explored at great length, you know, gay marriage is really not legal in Massachusetts.
Right.
The Constitution of Massachusetts does not allow the courts to change the law. What they did was they made a ruling that it was unconstitutional not to allow it, and suggested that the legislature change the law. The legislature never did change the law, and the governor just started, you know, having these things happen.
We are in the same condition here, by the way.
And so, you know, I think that ought to be the starting point, that yes, if in fact the Iowa Constitution has a similar, you know, outlook as the Massachusetts one, that this is only legal in that case, and that to change the law, the legislature needs to change the law, and until that happens, these things, you know, are not legal.
Well, that's precisely the situation here in Iowa. The Iowa Constitution expressly describes the activity of the Supreme Court to secure justice only between the parties. It doesn't give them legislative jurisdiction at all. And if we want to change the law of 595, the legislature is the only institution that can do that.
Right, and that really needs to be the starting point, and it should have been here in Massachusetts. And in fact, it's interesting that there is a bill before the Massachusetts legislature to legalize gay marriage, and there was last session too. And the reason that they're doing that is because it's not legal. Unfortunately, they've just started doing it.
This is why the leadership class, this is why the executive branch, if it won't defend its jurisdiction, and the legislative branch, which in the Iowa Constitution gives the legislature superior jurisdiction to the Supreme Court, explicitly does. If the legislature won't defend its jurisdiction, we will indeed have court-made law just by social habit, but not by legality.
Absolutely. And people really need to not make the mistake that was made here and just let the ball start rolling and the train start leaving. You know, people really need to stop it right now and say, this is what the Constitution says, abide by it.
Well, see, it's interesting, too, that you further talked about where your daughter went to kindergarten. You had in 2006, the parents of a third grader were forced to take their children out of a child out of school because a man that was undergoing a sex change operation and cross-dressing was being brought to an elementary school. Talk to us about that.
Oh yeah, well at the time my daughter was out of kindergarten. She was in high school at the time, but that is the school where she had gone to kindergarten, and they brought in a man cross-dressing as a woman and introduced this to the kids. And it, you know, these kids were coming home telling their parents all kinds of crazy things. And many of them were very scared and frightened. And when this one mother, you know, appealed to the school to say, why didn't you tell me? Why don't you let me pull my kids out? They just refused. They said, no, we're not going to. And they were so abusive to her that she was forced to pull her kids out of the school. This was actually reported in the local newspaper.
Where was the school board? Where's the people who actually own the school?
Well, you know, school boards have gotten pretty bad lately. And this, you know, I live in Barney Frank's hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't need to tell you any more than that.
Okay.
You know, this is what starts happening. You know, a lot of these school boards are elected with the help of the teachers' unions and with the help of you know, some of these radical groups. And that certainly happens more in other places, in some places than others.
Happens here.
But that's what ends up happening. And that's when this, you know, when this momentum starts to happen, that's what goes on. And you know, the whole transgender agenda is the next frontier of the homosexual movement.
What's
They've
that?
Had transgender days.
What's that?
The transgender is men becoming women through various mutilations and operations, and women becoming men. In my own kids' high school, they had one of these assemblies where a woman who had had her breasts removed to become a man, quote unquote, talked to the kids about how she's taking hormones to grow facial hair and all of this stuff. They never told me that my kids would be seeing this. This is where it's going.
This is just sheer propaganda, and this takes away from the real mission of the schools, for Pete's sake.
This has
nothing to do with education. This has everything to do with social engineering.
Yeah, it's madness. I mean, a woman can't become a man. I mean, they're always, you can mutilate one's body all you want, and a man, you can do anything. It just doesn't happen. This is madness. And this is what this whole momentum brings. And it's happening in Massachusetts, and it's going to happen, if it's not already, in places like Iowa.
It's happening in pockets here, and with this this ruling, this will be the excuse to do even more of it in the name of diversity and implementing, quote, the law. It will be just a question, will the Iowa taxpayers put up with it? It sounds like in Massachusetts they do.
Well, you know, many of them, you know, there is a lot of intimidation by the press and by others. The average person doesn't like it. The average person is extremely uncomfortable. But the level of intimidation, the level of vitriol against anybody who stands up.
But that's a tactic. And
yeah,
it's a tactic they told you they were going to use a long time ago. And anybody who disagrees, we will subject to hatred and a sustained attack against it. Brian, do you have a few more minutes?
Sure.
Brian Kamenker is on our newsmaker line from Mass Resistance in Massachusetts. And right after Ken Root updates us in our farm markets, I'm going to open the phone lines, and you're welcome to contribute at 284-1040 or 800-469-4295. Oftentimes people ask me, well, what can we expect now that the Supreme Court has checked in and issued its opinion? What are we supposed to do out here in the cheap seats? Well, first off, you have to acknowledge that the Supreme Court is, even by the Iowa Constitution, is not entitled to the last word here. The legislature has that jurisdiction. It's the only body that can act here under the direction of the governor. The Just for the sake of review here, and Brian Kamenker is on our newsmaker line from Mass Resistance, and that is an organization that's kept track of the damage that was done in Massachusetts. For the benefit of our listeners here, Brian, let me just read to them what the Iowa Constitution says.
Okay.
The Iowa Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction and shall constitute a court for the correction of errors at law. Here's the appropriate phrase. Under such restrictions as the General Assembly may by law prescribe. Now that means not implied, but directly states that the Supreme Court of the state of Iowa is under the jurisdiction of the legislature. Because General Assembly, can limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, and if the therefore that same language or similar language is found in the U.S. Constitution, and if the Iowa legislature wished, it would review that case and say, we disagree, we nullify it, and we are going to limit your jurisdiction even to hear a case like it. That's what that means.
Yeah, the question is do you have legislators with the guts to do that, and you know other leaders? That's unfortunately we didn't have it here. Have it there?
And also that very part of the Iowa Constitution says, and the legislature shall have the power to. I mean, that is the courts has the power to issue writs and processes necessary to quote secure justice to the parties. That means parties in the lawsuit. So when the party of the lawsuit here was the court, it was the Polk County court versus the plaintiffs, and they issued an opinion that only goes to the substance of the lawsuit as it regarding those two parties, creates nothing more than the jurisdiction I'm not saying this very clearly. They don't have jurisdiction to go past a decree dealing with any more than the two parties in that lawsuit.
You know, one of the things that I found was really, really disappointing when we started, you know, doing this business with the Constitution is that almost no legislators have ever read the Constitution. they take this oath of office to defend it, but they don't have the slightest idea what it says. And you even talk to lawyers. I mean, I got into some terrible arguments with conservative lawyers that were saying that I was all wet and all of this, and I'd say, well, here's the language. Show me where I'm wrong. And they wouldn't say, they just say, well, but this is the way we do it. You know, they wouldn't say, well, you know, your interpretation of the language is wrong. It's just, well, we do it this way. And you know, it's maddening.
Yes, it is, because if they don't, if they haven't read the contract, how can they enforce it?
Yeah.
And if they won't understand when their jurisdiction has been attacked, how will they defend it?
I know, and law schools generally don't even teach state constitutions. It's horrible. But yeah, it's always a lot of fun to go to a state legislature and ask them what the state constitution says about this. Because, as I said, I hadn't met one yet that had read it.
And plus the fact that they will serve up cliches, cultural cliches. Well, we have three equal branches of government. Well, not according to the Iowa Constitution, we don't. If the Iowa Supreme Court it can be restricted by the General Assembly by law, then which branch is more equal than the other? I mean, this isn't Animal Farm here. The Iowa Constitution explicitly says the jurisdiction, the appellate jurisdiction of the Iowa Supreme Court can be restricted by law by the General Assembly.
Right.
You can't be co-equal if you can be restricted.
I think what needs to happen is maybe some more tea parties on this issue and just say, you know, we demand that you do the right thing. Unfortunately, we didn't do that enough in Massachusetts, and a lot of the pro-family groups here were willing to step back and say, well, let's have a constitutional amendment. We didn't need a constitutional amendment here.
We don't need one here either. All we have to do is to have the legislature, under the leadership of the governor, say we're going to resist and nullify this law, this ruling, and which only applies to the parties in the case to begin with. Expressly said so by the Iowa Supreme Court, a description of their jurisdiction in the Iowa Constitution. If you don't believe what I'm saying, folks, just get up on the internet. Do a search for the Iowa Constitution, and you'll see there's a whole website. You can read the whole thing for yourself. The jurisdiction of the Supreme Court is under Section 4. It's the first paragraph. I'm inventing nothing. All I'm doing is quoting from the document itself that's up on the internet. And I don't see any way around this language. Brian Kamenker is on our newsmaker line, and this is Rob. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, sir.
Thanks. Hi.
Taking my call.
You bet.
I'd like to take this a step further that I don't think anybody has really thought through, and that is concerning the military.
Yes.
And that is that right now, under the current policy, it's don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
At what point does, through the legislative branches, instruct the U.S. military that that no longer applies? And in which case, if you have openly homosexual people that are in close quarters that create what could be a non-cohesive habitat, is it then separated under the goodness of the military, or is it overridden by the legislature?
Well, in order to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which basically is an executive order, you'd have to revise the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And the only institution that has jurisdiction to do that is the Congress of the United States. And the only way they'll do that is if they debate it. And I would love to be there to watch that debate.
I mean, that is the next step that I see being a crisis based on what the Supreme Court will be applying. It could be done under the national level, but more so will it be pushed under the state level of the state National Guard.
Well, that's an interesting point, too. Which jurisdiction, because the state National Guard is theoretically under the jurisdiction of the state of Iowa. And
I just don't think people have thought through this to the point of where really the cohesiveness of military could come into question of whether or not close living quarters or separate. And if the government acknowledges separate, then
but not, you can't have that because separate is unequal.
it is a very serious issue.
It sure is.
You discussed. So.
Hey, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it, sir. Brian Kamenker is on our newsmaker line. I need to take a short time out. What we'll do is reconvene this conversation in just a moment.
WHO.
So good. Right back to conversation. Brian Kamenker is here. We're going to talk about the girls from Ames here shortly. We'll have lots and lots of open line time, no? Oh, Wednesday, I think we're going to do that. Okay, yes, Wednesday. The fellow's going to be in the state of Iowa. Next hour, we'll have lots and lots of open line time. Right now, we're going to continue our brief conversation with Brian Kamenker from Mass Resistance in Massachusetts. There's this one section here. This is in the form of, I think, unintended humor here, Brian. The commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health is, quote, married to another man. Last year, he told a crowd of kids at a state-sponsored youth event, it's wonderful being gay, and he wants to make certain there's enough HIV testing available to all of them. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we have a video of that. This is the Department.
They put him
public
in charge
health.
Of the Department of Health.
It has become the Department of Public Disease. It has become one of the funders of the gay agenda in the schools and everywhere else. You know, it is pushing this stuff rather than doing its job and protecting the public. It's horrible.
Well, there's good news at the end of all of this. And if I understand this correctly, the Massachusetts legislature has just defunded the entire lobby out of the school budget.
That is correct. The Ways and Means Committee of the House which last year, you know, funded this at $850,000 strictly for homosexual programs in the schools. A combination of the terrible economy, the budget problems, and enormous pressure from pro-family people that just didn't stop since last year. They've completely defunded it down to zero. And, you know, the gay lobby is trying to bring that back, and we're going to, you know, it's not over yet. But this is the first time that's happened since 1990.
Is there a pushback because of their overreach?
I think so. I mean, I think they're tired of hearing this stuff on the radio and you know, from calls and letters and everything else, at the same time that the budget is, you know, $2 billion in the hole.
This is another example of never going to let a crisis go to waste?
I guess so.
Now they can use the budget shortfall as an excuse to get rid of toxic social policy? You think it could be as principled as that?
Well, we are talking about the Massachusetts
legislature. So at least that's a step forward.
Well, it shows you what can, I mean, even in Massachusetts, if you push hard enough, you can win. And that's why, you know, I'm saying this to the people of Iowa. Don't just stand back, you know, put the enormous pressure on your legislature to do the right thing, or else it won't happen.
And we don't need a constitutional amendment to fix a bad Supreme Court ruling. They have the constitutional authority to limit their jurisdiction by statute if they want.
Absolutely. And you know, don't step back and say, well, we're giving up on this. Let's try for an amendment, because it's the wrong approach.
Thank you, Brian.